Today, we're talking about space, me time, and the other 9 emotional needs we all require in healthy relationships.
Well, what's interesting is the space part of this would be when we were talking about this, it didn't dawn on me really what you meant. I mean, everybody knows what space is, but how important it really is. And that's one of those things that I think as guys, we really don't think about just giving her some space or giving your partner some space.
Yeah, well, and that's only one of these emotional needs that I want to like just kind of just let us touch on, because this is something we talk about a lot on the show, and especially this season we've been touching on understanding emotional needs versus just going about our lives and believing that somehow people are supposed to magically know what we want and need without having to figure that out for ourselves.
Right.
I know I spent a lot of my life doing that in relationships especially. So let me just, I'm gonna run down the list of emotional needs so we can just start brainstorming on them, right?
Yep.
Okay, so we obviously have space. We talked about that at the top here. Affection, acceptance, validation, autonomy, security, trust, empathy, prioritization, and connection. So as you can probably see, like maybe some of those as I'm talking about them bring up something to mind of like, oh yeah, I could see where that sometimes feels lacking in relationship. But I want to like take a real moment to think about the fact that as much as we think in relationship we need to get our needs met, the first place we have to start meeting those needs is for ourselves, essentially. So I think it's important to take an inventory of those 10 emotional needs. And by the way, you know, some places you look will tell you there's 4 and they'll break it down into 6 or whatever. These are the ones that I thought resonate most with me. So, you know, do what you will with that. But the idea is to think about each one, whether it's security. I know for me as a woman, I lean or depend sometimes on the men in my life, especially in my romantic partnership, where I want to feel secure, not just physically and feel safe around this person, which is very important, of course, but I also want to feel secure in his ability to show up when needed in a lot of other ways, right? And that kind of bleeds into this trust idea. So, but first, before I go asking him to make all those things happen for me, I need to take an assessment on my own, you know, about myself of, am I feeling secure enough in my own body? Like just taking the physical aspect of it, do I feel ready to fight, or do I have the tools at hand that would protect me if needed? Or, have I constructed boundaries around my personal safety in a way that would make it very unlikely that I get, you know, accosted.
In the circumstance to begin with. Yeah, because
exactly.
If you're not going and walking streets at 2-3 in the morning,
sure,
in a nasty neighborhood, you don't really need some
helpful
of that, right?
Yeah.
That is. So when you say security, though, real quick, we all know physical security, and I can defend you or her or whatever, or I can defend myself, but that's not necessarily the whole. You're meaning also security in the trust that they will show up to do whatever. I mean, it kind of sounds like trust and security to some degree.
So like I said, you can shorten these into, you can bulk these emotional needs into a lump of other things. But in this case, I broke them down into 10, which is pretty extensive. So if you're hitting all 10 of these for yourself and you're then taking whatever, you know, percentage is left that you need still met in other ways, like validation's an easy one to see, and you're asking your partner like, hey, I really would love if you, you know, were vocal with compliments whenever we go out to dinner on date night or something like that. Otherwise, you're meeting that need for yourself and you're being conscious about the fact that you can't rely heavily on your partner to do all these things for you all the time, because you'll end up starving because it's just asking too much of someone. Mm. So anyway, to answer your question about security being a broader aspect than just physical, yes, it can relate to all that, but since we've broken it down to also we have trust in here, and even empathy, which could be part of that same conversation of feeling secure, right? So all of these are related in some way. I don't know if that answers what you're...
No, they did. It does. Because when we think of security, we think, you know, against other people. Mm-hmm. Like if somebody's trying to, you know, engage in some criminal activity, you know, can you be secure? And it's interesting because I know a woman who was in a, you know, who has mentioned that that was a pretty big part of what she sought, because she likes to go to other places in the world that might expose her and her partner to things that could be interpreted as a little more risky or dangerous.
Yeah.
Because I guess she has this, you know, this need or desire to see different parts of the world.
Yeah, you're talking about me?
Well, maybe. No, but it wasn't
I've
you.
Gone to
but
a lot of,
yeah,
yeah,
it wasn't you. But
countries
that's
are questionable, I suppose.
Yeah, but I guess you, so you can answer this because it's if you don't have a partner that that can not necessarily provide security like an you know some bodyguard, but isn't it can at least take care of the situation or has the wherewithal or intelligence to be able to manage that. It's an important, or at the very least, won't get you into trouble.
And I think you know, for me, because I've traveled to a lot of places that people won't go with me. And I've been lucky enough to have a partner who will, even though he's quite aware of the risks and he, you know, he's hesitant in a lot of ways because of that. Because it is him having, you know, he has that feeling of he's going to have to show up.
Well, hesitancy is important though, because it gives right. you thought, you know, and you can think
And it's just
it.
That intelligence. But I think a huge part of what makes me feel like we're going to go into, let's just, you know, I don't want to put a country on the spot, so I'm not going to say one, but let's just say a third world country that is, you know, has some dangerous aspects to it, and we're going to travel there together. It's kind of an already unknown for us, but, you know, this should be something talked about in relationship to make sure that there is not a real threat, maybe life threat in the situation, that we're not going to go get hyper intoxicated yeah. somewhere, or we're not going to get outside of our conscious abilities so that we are aware and we're in, you know, we're not doing dumb shit and getting ourselves in trouble.
At 2 a.m, you're not at some weird nightclub on the fringes of some yeah. like occupied zone or something.
Exactly.
I mean, yeah. You're, but at the same time, you don't want a partner, even though you're intelligent and you wouldn't do that intentionally, you don't want a partner that will pull you into that world.
Yes. And there's this piece of it that is critical. Like the reason we want to travel to these new places is because of the novelty and some of that risk feeling and some of that like adventurous side of it is exciting and intoxicating, but where it falls over the edge is where you're not staying in, you know, you're not being mindful about what you're doing. You do, you know, you got to walk the ledge a little bit. Life needs to be exciting, yeah. or at least for me. I mean, ride motorcycles and fly planes and you do dangerous things, for instance, and that is maybe could be looked at by some people as like, that's too unsafe for me. Like, I don't want to be with someone who might die because he's doing these extreme things.
Yeah.
But that's so important for your life. And that's a need that you have decided you don't need to meet so severely that you decide to never go on a motorcycle because it's too dangerous or, you know, and you've met it in other ways that make you comfortable to go do that thing.
Right.
So, yeah, I think it's finding the finding the right balance for all of these things for yourself first, really assessing what that looks like for you, because it does open you up to having a better and clearer like list of what you want to call in a partner, like what you desire in a partner, where you want them to be able to meet needs for you and want them to be able to be comfortable for that. And so you'll find compatibility through doing the right. self-assessment.
Yeah, no, absolutely.
Yeah.
And then what's the trust is part of that, obviously.
Well, so
some degree.
So trust is, you know, could be looked at in a whole another aspect, because trust is such a big conversation, of course, in relationship. But, you know, I think people forget that trust is not actually about the other person at all. And I think, in this show, we talk about victim mindset so often, and how to get out of that is to start reframing the way we think about things like trust. It's if you put the power outside of yourself and you say, I can't trust you because you've done X, Y, Z, and or because I have this, you know, history that says I can't trust men, so you're a man, so I can't trust you, or vice versa. We're giving our power to that person. Like, we're literally saying, like, I haven't figured this out for myself. I haven't figured out my boundaries and my willingness to walk away when things, I've articulated my needs and you don't meet them. I haven't found the strength to be able to separate myself from that. That's our work. That's us figuring out how to trust ourselves before we go in and ask someone else to be trustworthy, right? And I feel like I would say this as a woman, but I'm assuming that as a man, and you can speak to this, Chap, if it resonates, but if I came into a relationship with you and I had already, and I'm bringing my past into this relationship by saying, I have all these trust issues, right? I haven't worked on them. I haven't healed them. I have not, done any self-assessment in this area really. And so now I'm putting all that responsibility onto you to make me trust again.
Yeah, that's not my, some people will try to take that challenge on. Mm. You know, I think if this was the situation, my answer would be, well, what can I do? What do you see me doing that can help you? Mm. And then if it's just, if you're being honest and you're thought about it and it's not that hard for me to do, like when you're on a trip, check in with me every night. Okay, that's easy. I'd do that anyway. But if it's extreme, then it's like, I really don't want to deal with this, no matter how kind of perfect on the surface she might appear. Mm. I don't want to have to deal with it. And the thing is you have to, and this is a lot of what we've been saying, you have to think ahead as the guy or the girl. You have to think ahead of what, I mean, assuming your mission is not one night stand or whatever, assuming you have a longer term, goal or mindset with this person, is you do have to think about that. And I admit almost everybody I know consciously isn't thinking, that what are they bringing to the table? Because, as a guy, you might say, well, I don't want a girl with emotional baggage because that's gonna, she shouldn't have any, I don't have any emotional baggage. Okay, for sure, right. But the reality is the older, the longer, the more experienced the woman is, the older she is, she's gonna have something, but that also is what makes her incredible. And if she's a good woman or a good guy, but in this case, a woman, she learns from those experiences she's had in her life, and she becomes better and better and better the older she gets.
Only if she starts taking responsibility for her part in it. True. Because I believe most humans on the planet, and that's unfortunate, but I hope, with our work, Jeff, we're starting to help adjust that. I think most humans on the planet believe that the failed relationships they've had were the fault of the other person.
Well, of course.
100%. Like, 100%. Well, I just needed a different partner.
She was crazy.
They weren't the one. And this is like the, and I hate to rag on Disney because they are doing a lot of lovely, amazing
things
right
now. Or just any fairy
right
tale there is.
Yeah.
Right?
But, and it's just the very finite perspective that we're watching them through, right? When we're watching these movies that tell a fairy tale of finding the one and finding this person who it just fits. They're the only one.
The only one in the world.
Right. Which is crazy if you really think about that, that we believe there is just one soulmate, there's just one person and that's it. And think about the fear that puts in you. Like, what happens if they die for some reason, whatever.
Or just you get an argument.
Or they don't like you and you believed they were the one.
Mm-hmm. Oh my God.
Or they cheat on you. I mean, this is what it is breeding codependency. You're breeding this relationship where you're enabling each other to be so dependent on the other person that if something was to happen to the relationship or to the other person, you're plummeting into the depths of hell at that point because you just don't know what to do anymore about it.
Yeah.
But so this thing about trust is really about reframing the idea first and foremost for yourself about if you are focusing on the external person, you're focusing on the other person. It doesn't have to be in romantic relationship, right? It can be in any kind of relationship. All these emotional needs apply. But if you are looking for them to do acts that cause you to trust or do acts or not do acts so that you don't stop trusting them, something like this, you're putting all your power out there. But if you can come from the perspective of trust happens inside of me first, I trust that whenever someone does something that transgresses or trespasses my boundaries, my personal needs, I'm going to do X, Y, Z, whatever you've set in place for that. And it's important when those things come up and you start feeling some sort of transgression, some sort of trespass from a party, you vocalize it like, hey, this doesn't feel good to me. And this is because I feel like it's hard for me to be with someone who's always flirting with other girls. I don't know, I'm making something up, but be with someone who's always flirting with other girls because it makes me feel like I'm unseen. And what I need is you to, validate that you're committed to me. You need you to, speak specific words to me that allow me to know that you're not going anywhere, or to tone the flirting down in this way. And if the other person says, no, this is just my natural way, I want to do it this way, then it's up to you to decide that this is or isn't for you. Again, if you feel that deep fear of losing someone to a degree where you feel like you cannot live without them, you need to really start assessing what's going on inside of you, because I wouldn't want to be in a relationship where the other person believes they cannot live without me. That would be so overwhelming.
Well,
so
and not only, you know, you talk about these fairy tales, we're kind of doing us a disservice, but there's also those same films and TV shows where, you know, the girl takes the bad boy and she's going to turn him into whatever she wants to turn him into and change him into this wonderful studly, whatever it is. And it's like, that's just, but that's not, again, it's not realistic. It's not realistic. So it's
not
kind
healthy.
Of, it's not healthy. So if you're going to take the guy that goes out and, you know, flirting, all he does is flirt and he's Mr. Stud and he's going around hooking up with all these, whatever he's doing, you're not probably going to change that. And if he's not willing to change, or you detect he's not willing to change, don't keep trying. Because he's like,
well, know
maybe
your boundary.
Yeah, know your boundary.
Set your boundary and then stick to it. And that's where this trust comes in. Because once you have done that work to know that you're not going to put up with a certain amount, you vocalized it and you've articulated to this other person through truth and love, then when it continues, you know, when that boundary continues to be trespassed, you have to stand up for yourself. That's where you actually create trust.
Yeah. And I think it's attractive because, you know, if somebody came to me and said, you know, I don't have exactly the greatest body in the world, you can't see, but my body's okay. I'm very happy with it, but it's not that great. But if somebody's like, you know, I'd really like it if you had a six pack or, you know, bigger body, I'm like, that ain't gonna happen.
Mm.
Sorry.
That's not in your car.
Go off yourself, because it's not going to happen. Like, I'm just not going to, I mean, I go to the gym and I run. Like, that's what you're going to get. That's
right.
It.
And that,
that's
you know,
a bad
perhaps
example,
y'all aren't compatible in that.
Yeah. Sorry.
Realm.
If you want a bodybuilder, I ain't it.
Yeah. But there is also, you know, we do change our partners. We do have influence on our partners, but if we go in with the intention to change them, it becomes a really
and I feel like the older you get, the less like you're to do that maybe.
Yeah.
Cause you've realized it. And you know, we, I was talking to somebody about this and they were talking about older ladies, whatever older ladies is. I mean, I don't know. To me, an older lady is 10 years older than me, and that's an older lady by everybody's standards. Mm-hmm. But I tell people, I'm like, these women, you know, mid to late 30s into their, you know, late 40s, it's like, you need to, they don't, you know, the emotional baggage thing, you know, if they're, like you said, if they were willing to work on their problems and they know that the other, their ex-husband or the dad of their baby isn't the cause of the entire world's problems, then they end up being pretty good, you know, they're pretty good people and they understand a lot. And
yeah,
so, but that's kind of, I keep deviating from them. We've talked about that in past episodes. Okay. Other than trust, what's the next? And we're going to put this in the show notes, right? You're going to put the list of these 10.
Sure. Or they can re-listen.
Just how about you re-listen and make sure we get that view count in there.
So affection is a good one, because I think as relationships grow together, sometimes that wanes a lot of the time. Or if kids, you know, get born and this type of thing, sometimes all that energy, affection
kids get
energy.
Born. Kids that's
get
what happens.
Born.
I told my kid he hatched. And for the longest time, by the way, for the longest time, he's like, daddy, he calls me daddy, 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 daddy. He goes, not anymore.
Yeah.
Now he's daddy. He's so sweet, by the way. But he calls me, he's daddy, daddy. He goes, how was I born? I'm like, well, I basically say, I have two versions. I'm sorry to deviate, but I have two versions. One is the more R-rated version. And one is the real version I tell him, which is not real. But I say, you know, well, mama started talking to daddy and she looked at him the right way or the wrong way. And then, you know, like, cause he was born premature. And then like 6.5 months later, you were hatched.
You were hatched.
And he's like, oh.
And dinosaur.
And, yeah. And he looks at mama and she's like, you were kind of hatched, because when you're cut out of somebody's stomach, you're kind of hatched. And he's like
true.
An alien.
Yeah.
Looking around like, you know. And it, a lot of ways he looked like an alien.
Technically, you started in an egg.
I mean, he screeched like an alien, and I had to cut it, and he was it looked like an alien, basically.
Yeah, well, doesn't the sperm technically hatch? I mean, it breaks through the egg, so
I hope
kind
I don't ever have to find out. But again, thank you. But the reality is
we all start in an egg.
Reality is we can trace it literally back to a certain date.
The
a certain
lizard
time.
Brain.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, we're hatched exactly. creatures.
It was a blood red. Orange margarita,
which is
not on my end.
Super to our point,
yeah.
But it actually is, because, and you're gonna see how I bring it back around.
Okay,
you know, because from a very primal standpoint, right, we need certain things like, you know, you when you get hatched, you need to be uh-huh. fed and you need to be warm and you need to be, housed and given water and all the things. But we're talking about emotional needs today, which is what happens as you mature, especially into an adult, where you stop having the caregivers around you to give you and meet all yeah. those needs for you.
Yep.
You start going, well, who else is meeting all these needs for me? And again, you're putting all of that power outside of your body, and the maturing process into adulthood, into manhood, into womanhood is about realizing that now a large percentage of those needs are going to be found inside of you because you have become and been nurtured to become this capable adult.
Well, and there's that it sounds dumb, but the more you think about it, it's really genius. It's like everywhere you go, or no matter where you go, there you are.
Mm-hmm.
And the thing is, if you like yourself, and not, you don't have to be in love with yourself, but if you like yourself and you're like, I'm a pretty good person,
yeah.
right, overall, and you would like to be friends with you. Cause if I had a friend like me, I would think that'd be pretty cool. Like I'd like to be friends. I actually have a friend that's like me. He unfortunately moved to Tennessee, but so he knows who he is and he's watching. I know you're watching, jerk, but the thing is everywhere you go, there you are. And if you like yourself and mm-hmm. you would be friends with yourself, no matter where you are and no matter how lonely you think you are, there's you.
Well, this is tricky because, in another episode called, wearing the pants in the relationship, or we named it something like that if you want to look it up, we spoke specifically about hyper-independence, where you're thinking that you should not go outside yourself to have any of your needs met, right? Any of these emotional needs met. And then you become this person who's so rigid, so resentful, so contemptuous of the people in your life because you feel like you can do it better than everyone else. No one ever shows up fully for you. You got to care about everybody else's needs and figure out your own needs first, and you can't lean on anybody else. And that's not a healthy place either. That's another extreme that doesn't get us to the synergistic, loving relationships that we all crave.
It just wouldn't be fun either. It's just not fun.
Not fun, because life is about relationships. End of the day, you're laying on your deathbed. What are you going to consider? You're going to consider the people you impact, whether it's through your legacy or it's
well, and on my deathbed, I will tell you, uh-huh. as I sit there, I'm gonna look at how many people subscribe to our
yes.
show.
How many people?
And
you
if
impacted.
It's more than like 500 million, I'm going to be kind of happy. So please don't let me be upset on my deathbed in a couple of years.
No, not a couple of years.
I hope not. No, this is what I
know.
So anyway, sorry. Okay, what's the next one? Because these are good, but I want to get because these are like bite-sized nuggets,
yeah.
and they're really good because you got to remember these, and you don't have to be perfect at all of them, but
yeah.
at least you're thinking about them, right?
So let's talk about validation, because I think this is a huge one, or at least it's been one of my biggest what do I want to call it, journeys through, as far as like emotional needs go, figuring out how to meet my own needs for validation, because especially as a career model, I guess I can call myself, and being in this type of very sex forward, very visually focused, genre and career on social media for so long, so much of my validation came through external means, right? Mm-hmm. And again, we go from getting our validation from our caregivers and our parents, and they give validation in certain ways that we decide are acceptable or not acceptable. And then we progress into these adults, and we're looking for it first, and I put adults in quotations, because when you haven't done this type of assessment we're talking about, you're probably not what I would consider a conscious, true adult yet. But when we go out into the world then, and we start looking to meet our needs externally, in this need of validation, I looked very much externally from the men that I would attract, from my girlfriends who, we'd be out in places together, and compliments that would come from, especially like on social media, from whoever they come from, which those are all usually very surface level, that's very surface level information. It's very rare when a person compliments you on a very deep level. And usually that happens in romantic relationship, because those are usually our deepest relationships, right? Mm-hmm. Where that gets to happen, where people get to see us and acknowledge us in that way. And when we don't get those needs met externally, we feel starvation. We feel this desperation.
Well,
this neediness.
And remember, we kind of did this in a way. Remember with Katie Keene.
Yeah,
we played around with some of these pickup lines. We're doing
oh,
it
yeah.
to be funny,
mm-hmm.
but if you did it in a way, and in your brain you were trying to be genuine to Miss Keene,
yeah.
she came across as a little more, yeah, all right.
Yeah, I can get with that one. I would talk to you. Yeah.
I just happen to be better at it. But no.
That was a great episode. That was a hilarious episode.
Amazing. She's good. But anyway, so no, but you're, I guess like, and I would love, and as we're sitting here talking, I would love to ask you at one point, we'll do this later, but about modeling and your experiences in that, because I think at one, it might be worth deviating a little bit in one of these episodes to just dive in more to your experiences with people in this world with these affirmations, negative, positive, all these things, because
but it affects you. And I think this is a good episode to dive a little, at least touch it a little bit, because it is very much in line with a lot of our emotional needs. You know, again, it's, When I go out into the modeling world and I go to a casting after casting after casting, you know, I sometimes would have three castings a day, and every day you're on a different job. You know, you literally show up to a different job and you're the ambassador for this product, and you got to learn, you know, the ropes in that company and get along with those people. And it's you learn how to be a chameleon and people please in a way and perform in a way that is not even close to you, because you don't even have enough time to connect with people because you're so short-lived in that job. Then you're on to the next. Actors have, I think, a lot of the same thing.
God, so strange, right?
Yeah, and so you become kind of a stranger in your own body, because you're just looking for the validation through, you know, the people that you're working with to tell you did a good job, or you're pretty enough to get the job, or you're tall enough or not tall enough, or whatever it is, and you're trying to manipulate yourself into fitting the mold so you can get the job to make the money.
But if you have a partner, like new into a relationship, mm-hmm. or certainly been a while, and this partner in your case validates you in a way that it's meaningful and that you are not receptive to it, like I'm only playing the field that you're receptive or not. Mm-hmm. But if I'm meaning, and I say something to you that's meaningful, and I'm like, you know, and maybe at the good timing is when your day maybe didn't go perfect. And it's like, don't worry about it. And here's why and whatever. Not like you can come cry my shoulder, not like that, but more saying something that is genuine, that is true. And when you think about it, you're like, he's right. You know, and it's like, that's a simple oversimplification of it. But I love that technique, because everybody, it's kind of like writing the gift note. I mean, it's the same.
So I think the important thing for this episode is, yes, if we're talking about how to hit on somebody, yes, that for sure is a great tactic.
Yeah. Well, that for sure.
But to find something genuine and deeper that, you know, you can say about someone in order to let them know you see beauty.
I'm still hitting on my significant other, apparently.
Apparently. But, and that's all good too. And that's all useful as well. But I think right now we're talking about how do we do that for ourselves? So what I do this self-appreciation practice. And I teach men this a lot. A lot of men come to me in the DMs asking specifically about building confidence, you know,
and in themselves.
Yeah. Building confidence. And they think they want the confidence in order to approach a woman or you know, be just look better out in the world in their career or whatever it is that they're trying to do. And yes, that's what they're going to use it for. But the reality is that confidence is about knowing the real truth about yourself, about others, and about the world. And if you can get down to that, which is, you know, our show is always drilling back down to that same understanding yourself and knowing yourself, you finally walk into the world without this mask over you that blocks you from being seen really. So if I'm wanting validation and I'm only getting the validation for the mask that I wear, and literally when putting on makeup, every time I do, I think about it as this mask, and I even act differently when I have it on.
Or there's something called mascara.
There you go. Yeah. But, you know, I'm putting on this whole, and even like my outfit today, and, you know, this is a performance, this is a version that I can play, a role I can play, but no one's getting the real me 100% if I'm going to be wearing a whole performance, right? So if you go into the world with a mask over your true self, you're gonna get little validation, and especially if that validation is for the mask, which when everyone says, "Oh, you're so, you know, handsome," or "You're so you look so dapper in that suit," that's lovely because you did a performance and you put on this role and it took you time and energy, so you're getting, you know, you're getting complimented for that particular art form that you're doing, you're performing, but you're not getting that soul connecting validation. And that soul connecting validation only comes when you are acting as your true self and you're allowing people to see that. That's when it can come externally and really hit you. But first, before you even attempt getting it externally, if you're going to attempt it, do it internally for yourself. Like when you, we've talked about this a little bit before too, but when you do a self-appreciation practice, it's basically just writing down, I like to write down like at least 40 things, which is a long list, but at least 40 things about myself. And it doesn't have to be physical, but it can be physical if that's where you want to start and get the ball rolling. You can say, I mean, I like my feet. I like my right toe. You know, it can be stupid, but it also needs to be about your personality traits. Like, what is it about you that you want to validate and that mm-hmm. you want validated from the world? Because you know it's great about you, but you never let it shine or show.
Yeah. And the other, and the thing about validation and I always simplify things to myself to make these deployable things, mm-hmm. but, and please correct me if I'm wrong, but anytime, I mean, we have friends, and do you ever get text messages from people that are not work related? I mean, I do sometimes. Sure. You do, obviously. People get text messages from people that is not work related, or it's like a, you know, spam or something, but it's just from somebody. And if it's a person and it's your friend, they're texting you because they really care about you. Mm. You know, if it's like, what are you doing, dumbass? What are you doing today? Are you going over here? What are you doing? Come on. I mean, it's because they, guys, that's what we do, but it's because they care about you. So it's like affirmation, just the fact that you received a text message from somebody that's a friend that says, hey, have a good weekend. That's affirmation, because what they're saying to you is, I care enough about you to take a moment to text you, have a good day.
Yeah.
You know, and it's absolutely. Like, it's just, it's not that I'm trying to build, because I have friends and I do this to them. I'm not trying to build your confidence. I'm just telling you, I'm thinking about you at this moment and I care. And it's like, hope you have a good weekend.
Yeah. You're making an investment in the relationship.
Yeah. It's like, have you, you know, and I mean it. I have a good weekend. I'm not like, hey, text me back because I really want to know what you're doing this weekend and get like invited. I'm just doing it because I'm like, I hope you have a good weekend. I generally do. And so you get those texts too. People get those texts. And it's like, if it's your mom or if it's your friend, it's like, hey, you going to the game on Thursday, or you want to play golf, or you want to go wherever. It's like, because they like you, because they like you, no matter how bad your day's going, somebody cared enough to text you because they like you.
And that's, you know, one of our 10 emotional needs today is connection. And that's really attempting to connect, right? That's an attempt for connection, attempt to show someone else that they, that you're invested and you want to connect. We do need connection in our lives. We need to not, and again, you know, this episode is largely about refocusing, you know, focusing it backwards onto yourself first. And so connecting would be about connecting with yourself as well, like slowing down to actually see what's going on with you instead of it being a fully external practice on every moment.
Well, and this is one of the great things. We talked about this before, and this is going to sound really lame because I'm not your physical fitness coach, obviously. But the thing is like, this is why walking or running is so good.
Meditative, yeah.
Because you can't do anything else really. Mm-hmm. And you have a chance to think about yourself and things and what you're, you know, and eventually you get really good at it. Mm-hmm. And it's a great thing. It's walking meditation.
I would even, because, you know, in today's ADHD world where we're all scrolling, hyper desk scrolling, all the things, I would say a lot of people, and including myself, I listen to audiobooks a ton whenever I'm running or whenever I'm walking and this type of thing. And I sometimes do it as a walking meditation. But for me, what's been incredibly impactful for connecting with myself has been dream journaling. So especially if someone who has vivid dreams, you know, there's a whole practice to remembering that. But what you're doing is connecting to the part of you that's trying to give you a message. It's your subconscious that's speaking. So there's a lot of different ways that we can connect with ourselves. There's a lot of different ways to start opening the communication there. Another one would be, and I just wanted to say on validation, since we spoke a lot about how we get it externally, but doing that self-appreciation practice would be the way to kind of start giving it to yourself first, so that when you go, you know, to your romantic partner, to social media, you're not so focused on the likes, you know, so focused on, do people get me? Do people get me? And it's like, even if they got you through that one post, they're only getting what they can receive through the one post through their subjective reality. Yeah,
right.
You know, it's so distant from...
Or it was thrown on through an algorithm and they don't even know you.
Totally.
They won't even follow
you anyway. Who knows?
Right.
Okay, so another one that we'll touch on before we close out would be, let's do acceptance. And this is kind of a big, it seems broad, but I think acceptance, I don't know, have you ever really felt like accepted by someone? Like where you're like, wow, I really feel like this person.
Yeah, I mean, I think that when you're on a team and you look around at the team and that everybody on the team's awesome.
Yes.
And you're like, oh, I'm actually on the team. I must have done something. And I'm a starter, whatever it is.
Uh-huh.
Oh, all right. Well, I guess I'm not that bad.
Yeah.
And that's, I think that's where I think that's kind of the easy way. Or you're at a get together and you look around at all the people that are there and all your friends. It's like, he's this, she's that, he's this, she's that. And you're like,
so you're
why
invited.
Am I here? And then you're like, wait, I must be okay if I really respect all these people. Now, if you're in, you know, prison or something and it's like, okay, well maybe that's not, you know, I don't know. But like, at least if you're there, like when I was in law school and I looked around at all these really intelligent people and I'm like, oh my God, like my grades are not what theirs are and I'm not on
the
law
review. But now you're comparing
yourself. But then I'm like, but I'm here.
You're here.
You know, and
you made
and
it
I,
in.
I made it in and I'm going to graduate and I'm going to, you know, become, you know, whatever. And it's like, well, okay, it's not so bad. So, but the thing is, you don't really realize that until you look back.
Of course, because in the middle of it, your nervous system's all activated.
But I'm older, so listen to the old guy.
But so the point is here, right, that you can find acceptance in so many different ways out there in the world. And it's what we want more than anything else, I think, is when people come to me with their conversation around, you know, wanting to feel confident or wanting to be better at this, that, the other, what they're looking for is acceptance because we don't want to be alone, essentially. We don't want to be abandoned. We want to be accepted. And the first way to start proving that to yourself, of course, is to start accepting who you are. And I think for me, one of the first places I felt really accepted externally, which I could then bridge to how I can do that for myself.
Well, that was this morning when I told you I liked your hat.
That was it. That was the moment.
That's it.
But it was, for me, it was actually when I sat with a talk therapist in this situation. And then later it was through doing my earlier podcast where I talked to these shamans and psychologists and all these people who were professionals at holding space and accepting people without the shame judgment that happens in most of our culture of the world. And as I got to feel that from multiple places, I started realizing that I can do that for myself and for others, which is a really beautiful gift to be able to give. So I think that's just a journey, you know, into figuring out how to hold space for yourself and all the parts of you that you thought were not allowed or not acceptable, to start allowing them, you know, befriending them and start allowing them to exist, and then realizing what gifts they actually hold when you stop shaming them, which we did a whole episode on as well. So, all right. I think that, I don't know that we rounded out every single one of them. We didn't do autonomy, which is probably really important, I think, for a lot of men. They think they want freedom, but they're not willing to create the discipline in their life to get there. Mm. But we're going to do a whole episode on freedom equals discipline, essentially.
Love it.
And we will also hit a lot of these other topics, empathy and space, which we have a whole episode on, like attachment styles and the avoidant attachment style specifically, which when, I would say it doesn't matter man or woman, but when you want a lot of space in your relationships, and it's like a lot of space, like you feel better alone, essentially.
Yeah, that's an issue.
We have to start looking at what that's about, because at the core of it, we are social beings who don't really want to be abandoned. So that's a whole nother topic, but we'll get into that later. So any other parting words today on this emotional needs conversation?
I would say I would really like to see this in the show notes or go to watch it again, because I think that if you look at all of these and like you said, just think about each one of them.
Yeah.
Just again, we talk about this a lot, but just thinking about things is putting you already in the positive, in the step, in the good direction. And it's not a little step; it's a step.
Well, and it's work, and I think people we really shy away from doing the hard stuff, especially when it's for ourselves, because we don't feel like we're going to get credit for it.
Yeah, for sure. But you
and
do.
It's, yeah, exactly.
You do. So
in spades.
In spades,
yeah, it's the most important work you will do. Okay, so. You guys know what to do. Subscribe, comment, connect through the links below. And we always want to remind you that you already are.